Well, good morning. My name is Josh Rutherford. I am a pastor in my residency here at Revive Wesleyan Church, and it is such a joy to be able to bring God's word to you all this morning as we continue our Advent series, Let Heaven and Nature Sing. So through this Advent, we are going to be looking at various songs that happen in the Bible surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at the story of Zechariah, and this week, we're going to be looking at a different story that has a pretty strong parallel, actually, to Zechariah's story. Just as a reminder of last week, we learned that Zechariah, initially, when God spoke to Zechariah through the angel Gabriel, he was doubtful and didn't respond in obedience like he should have. But this week, we are going to look at an example of someone who did respond with obedience and did say yes to God in a big way. But before we get into that, I will share a time that I said yes in the moment to something. So a few years ago, I was in the car with my friend. We had visited her mom's house, and we were in the driveway there, and we're ready to leave and go somewhere else. And we talked about, okay, which road are we going to take to get there? Some of you who know me know that I am a humorous fellow at times. And so I like to make people laugh. And there was this thought that came into my mind of, hey, if I do this thing, if I say this movie quote and then drive into her yard, that would make my friend laugh. Because, you know, the pinnacle of comedy is driving through someone's yard. I don't know what this thought was, but it just came into my mind. It was something that I thought of. So I said, yes, that is a great decision. I am just going to go ahead and do that. So I turned to my friend and I said, roads, where we're going, we don't need roads. Put the car in drive, hit the gas, and was immediately greeted by the unmistakable sound of crunching metal. As I remembered that, oh yeah, this driveway had a large wooden log that was set there so that people wouldn't accidentally or intentionally drive into someone's yard. And so from that day forward till the last day that I drove this car, when it died, finally, there was a large dent in the front bumper of this car. So typically when we hear saying yes in the moment, that's something that we associate with that of being impulsive or being reckless. It's something that we want to respond to right away without thinking. And so when we hear this story of saying yes to God right away, there might be some impulsivity that we think of. But there are three components to the way that Mary said yes to Jesus, said yes to God, that we can learn from in our own calling. So we're in Luke chapter 1 today, and I'll reread some of what we already heard for the Advent reading as we explore Mary's story. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So some background that we have revealed to us about Mary in this passage. First, we see that she was engaged to Joseph. Now, at the time of this story, an engagement or a betrothal would happen around the age of 12, 13, maybe 14 for a girl. So she was a young teenage girl at this point in the story when she was approached by the angel. She was not from wealth or status. We see that she was from a town in Nazareth in Galilee. And actually, if you go back through the records, there are secular records of Galilee. Nazareth usually isn't mentioned in those records because it was of so little significance. An apostle later on would even say, "What good can come from Nazareth?" It just wasn't a place that was known, a place that was cared about or had any sort of importance. And she was betrothed to Joseph. Now, when we think about engagement, in this context, it was a lot different than what we have today. There was actually a lot more at stake. There was already a contract, essentially, between Mary's family and Joseph's family. In other parts of Scripture, they are actually already referred to as husband and wife. So a betrothal looked a lot different. Their finances were tied in with each other already. The only thing that had yet to happen was the wedding ceremony and then the consummation of that. But during this period, Mary was still living in her father's home under his protection, but she was pledged to be with Joseph. And so there was an expectation of purity. She remained a virgin during this time. So with all that context, we see that Mary was greatly troubled at the words of the angel. Because really, who was she? She was this young teenage girl that didn't really have much of a background, came from a no-name town. Who was she? She had heard stories before of angels appearing to people, but these were people of significance, and these were for big events. And so she was troubled and worried what might be happening. We see the first part of this, however, the first component of Mary saying yes is that she experienced grace. She was a no-name girl in the presence of an angel, and she experienced grace. She was undeserving to be in that presence. But as we read in verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." No pressure. Found favor. This is twice that Gabriel said this to Mary. You have found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we can see her character evident in this story. We don't know much about her before this point, but we can see her character in this story. We can see her character later on. And she was a good person. She had strong character. But we also know from Romans 3 that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So this grace that she experienced was not just grace of who she was in her humble circumstance. It was also that she was a sinner, that she had fallen short. She was part of the Jewish community. She was an Israelite. And so there were customs and laws that she had to follow, that she had grown up with, of sacrifices and burnt offerings to atone for sin. She had probably heard about this coming Messiah. The Jewish community was in anticipation for that. In fact, we sang about that quite a bit this morning, this anticipation of a Messiah who would come and finally erase all of this sin and all of this darkness that was overshadowing the Israelites. So now she hears about this. Sin would be conquered, but her role in this is that she would be the mother of the Son of God. This was a very high calling, to say the least. And yet, because she had grace, she was able to believe. Mary believed. Accepting that grace, realizing that yes, though she was in a humble position, that God was so much greater and that God had covered any shortcomings that she had, she was able to believe. Now, there is still the question that she asked here, and we see this in verse 34. She says, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Again, she grew up in the Jewish faith. She had heard stories before, and she had likely heard stories of people like Sarah or Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Samson's mother. God had promised Abraham that he would have so many descendants, more than the stars in the sky. And yet there were times throughout Israel's history where that was threatened by women who were barren. But God had provided, he had made a way miraculously that whether they were barren by old age or other complications, that the lineage continued, that the ancestry, that the Abraham's seed would still continue through generation. But in all these circumstances, there was a man that was involved. And so this was one more step of a physical impossibility. She was a virgin. How could this be? You might hear this, and like I said, there are parallels to Zechariah's story. He asked a how question as well. And if you were here last week or are familiar with that story, when Zechariah asked how, he faced consequences because he doubted. He was silenced until John the Baptist was born. So we might look at this and see another how question right after we've read about Zechariah. This is the same chapter. And my question, why was this okay? Well, in the world of psychology, you're able to identify whether someone is asking a question from a place of anxiousness or fear. So typically, if someone is asking a question when they are having anxiety about something, they are reassurance seeking. So they're not looking for the objective answer. They're not looking for the truth. Maybe if it fits what they really want, which is just to feel better. to feel better about themselves. And so here we see this in Zechariah's question, how can I be sure? God, what can you do to make me feel better about the situation and make me feel like this is possible? What can you say to reassure me and to prove something that I don't think is possible? There's so much anxiety that is in this question that Zechariah asks. Mary, however, how will this be? So there's not disbelief in that. She's asking questions, looking for information, trying to understand how this can happen. She's looking for what God's plan is for her life. She wants to know more about this. So the angel responds in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, the way that this is worded in the original translation is actually very similar to the creation event in Exodus, where the Holy Spirit is hovering over the water, ready to speak life into creation. Yes, Jesus did exist before this story. He is fully God. But here, the Holy Spirit is ready to essentially have his presence over Mary and speak into existence the physical presence of Jesus on earth. An incredible miracle. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. May your word to me be fulfilled. She believed. God spoke to her and she believed. Despite the impossibility of the physical component of it, it didn't make sense. How could this possibly be? She had never been with a man. How could she give birth? How could she conceive? She believed. And then she believed that she could be used. Do you believe that you can be used today? Do you believe that God can use you despite the sin that's in your life? Despite maybe the humble background that you come from, your inability to do certain things that you hold yourself to a standard to, do you believe that God can use you in miraculous ways? Mary believed that she could be used. And that belief led to the final component. Mary was willing. She was willing. She says, I am the Lord's servant. She was willing to say yes, and saying yes has consequences, often far more severe than a busted up bumper. There were consequences that she didn't know about. There was the unknown. Yes, she had, again, heard about the Messiah, certainly, but would she really know the pain that she would experience as being the mother of the Messiah who was born to die for our sins? In fact, we could ask lots of questions about what she did or did not know. We might even write a song about it. We're going to sing that today. No, we're not. It's good. But there was also a very real, a very well-known component, a very real possible consequence that she was aware of. Because remember, there was an agreement that she had with Joseph, that her family had with Joseph's family. And she risked losing all of that by saying yes to this. There was this shame that would be part of that because people knew that she was betrothed at this point, so there's no reason that she should be pregnant. There was scandal to this. What God was calling her to was going to have scandal and shame. She would bring shame upon herself, shame upon her family. She could potentially lose that marriage to Joseph. Along with that, there were financial parts of that her family would actually lose money as part of it. She would lose the provision that Joseph was going to give her. He was a carpenter and was able to put a roof over her head, maybe literally. But he was able to provide for her. And she was at risk of losing all of this. Not just that, but according to the law about this betrothal period, women who were adulterous should be stoned to death. She had this potential consequence of losing everything for saying yes to God. That is why it was so important for her to live in that grace, to experience that grace, and to know that even though she wasn't on her own merit capable of following God's will, that God was stronger, and to believe that he would provide for her and that he would provide in a way that was far beyond even what she could understand. Later on, another one of her sons, James, would write this: "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." I wonder, was Mary on his mind when he wrote this? The many times that he had heard the story of his brother's miraculous conception, where God performed a miracle in his family's life, and not just that, but the obedience of his mother Mary to be able to say, "Yes, despite these consequences, I am willing to follow God's plan for my life." Because if you believe as Mary did here, if you believe as we are all called to believe in John 3:16, belief is not just an opinion. Belief is not just agreeing with the truth and recognizing a truth. Belief permeates within us. We believe in God, and because of that, it completely transforms us and changes us, our attitudes, our actions, our words, our thoughts. And so Mary believed, and she was transformed. She forgot about all those consequences that may have gotten in the way, and she focused on God and knew that he would provide in a big way. If potential consequences are getting in the way of your obedience and of you saying yes, then you don't believe you're called. Because if you believe you're called, you are believing in something so much bigger than yourself, and you can't help but act. And that's exactly what she did. She heard that no word from God will ever fail. And she believed that no matter what it would cost her, she clung to that. So she said, "Yes, Lord, I am your servant. I am willing." She faced an immediate consequence from saying yes. Consequence of joy. She told Elizabeth, well, had the plan to tell Elizabeth about this news. She went to her cousin's house, was going to share with her what had happened, but Elizabeth already knew. Elizabeth was overjoyed, had already heard from the Lord, and she was at that moment filled with the Holy Spirit. Even John the Baptist, who had not yet been born, was still in Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Spirit and was excited and responded and kicked. Because Jesus was here, they knew, and they spoke that affirmation to Mary. How powerful that must have been. This meek little girl of a humble background having this confirmed. Yes, this was the right thing to do. Yes was the right answer. So she sings this song. Some of us know it as the Magnificat. It starts in verse 46. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." She experiences joy. Joy for three different things. Joy for her people, for the nation of Israel, because finally that long-awaited Messiah, that Savior, has come. And so even all these times that they were under the yoke of slavery, whether it be literally or the slavery of sin, here was this Redeemer coming to save them. She rejoiced for them. She was joyful. But she was also joyful for herself because she got to be a part of this. She got to be a part of God's plan to be the mother of Jesus. And she was joyful for future generations. That includes us. We are all sons and daughters of God, whether we are Jew or Gentile. The salvation of Jesus Christ has covered all of us if we're willing to say yes and to accept that. It extends to all of us, and she has this joy. It goes from generation to generation. Here at Revive Wesleyan Church, we desire to be an undeniable force of God's hope, healing and grace for generations to come. For generations to come. The choices that we make today have an impact that lasts for generations. Here we see a young girl who was willing to say yes, and it changed so much. So my question for you today is, what's your yes that God is calling you to today? What are you being called to right now? It might be something simple. Maybe it's a conversation, a difficult conversation that you've been putting off that you need to have with someone. Maybe it's taking the time to open scripture and make time out of your busy schedule and connect with God. Maybe it's something big. It's a job change or a location change. But what is God calling you to today? Where you need to make the decision that you are going to look past those consequences and you are going to say in obedience, yes, to God, just like Mary exemplified for us. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song that is new for us as a church. And as we sing this, singing about saying yes and that we are available, I would encourage you to take whatever posture of obedience that you need to take. So that could be singing along, lifting up your voices along with the song. It could be prayerful reflection of what God's called you to, whether you're sitting or standing or kneeling. But take this time to reflect. What is God calling you to? What do you need to say yes to in this season? Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a God of grace, that you see our brokenness, and you provided a way for us to move past that, that those of us that call your Son our Savior are seen equally as him. We have your favor because of the work that your Son did for us. You see past our brokenness to a world of possibilities with us. You have a call for us, things that you want us to accomplish, or rather, things that you want to accomplish through us. So God, help us to have clean eyes as well, to be able to see past any sort of consequences that might be in front of us, any shortcomings, whether we think we're not equipped or we're not worth it, that we can be used by you, and all it takes is saying yes. I am willing, God, because you are able. God, hear us as we lift our voices up to you. In Jesus' name.